Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the GTLD Registration Data Policy Implementation Pre-IRT Meeting, held on Wednesday, the 24th of April, 2019, at 1500 UTC. I'm sorry, 1700 UTC. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Zoom room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now? Thank you. Hearing no names, I would like to remind all participants to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. Thank you. And with this, I will turn it over to Dennis Chang. Please begin.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our second pre-IRT meeting for our registration data policy implementation. Let's see, I just got a text here from Isabel that she's reporting that she has Amanda, Mauro, and Angelina with her, so four of them are together. I am remote, caught in an LA traffic, if you will. But this Zoom is the first time we're doing this, and I think it's working out well. It's so much easier for me to... okay, hold on. I'm getting another text. Amanda are here too. Yeah, please chat Andrea, if you will, if you're just reporting who's here. Let me focus on running the meeting here. So go to the next slide. This is our agenda. Agenda one, Andrea took us through the administrative remarks, so we're there. She takes attendance and she'll report the attendance, so make sure that you do report that. It is important that we track up who has joined our meeting and who is not joining, and so that we can catch them up if we have to. It's important that we move together in a lockstep because things can change very quickly, and we are doing things in a very informal way also, until the real IRT gets assembled. And we have a couple of new members we'll introduce when we get there. We'll have to do a very quick review of the role of the pre-IRT. It's very important that we do that. We'll just take just one minute to do that. And I'll show you the four-stage timeline view of the policy. This is a new way of looking at it, a different way. I think it's more meaningful than the color chart that I showed you before. People seem to understand this way of viewing the policy better. So stay tuned for number five. And a quick reminder on what we're doing right here in the long process of implementation. We're basically doing step one and two, the beginning stage. Step seven, policy recommendations. We are going to review recommendations number 2, 3, 21, 25, and 17. I know they're not in order, but there's some logic to it. So hold on till we get there, and I'll explain why we chose these ones to review with you first. Then we'll talk about the next step. Next slide, please. So, board resolution status, there's no update. It's the same status. We're basically on a waiting mode. I know there is a board workshop early in May, and we don't know what will happen there. So we are not going to predict anything. The only thing that I think that we can say is that temp spec is expiring 20 May of 2019. So for us, our implementation team, we want to be ready to act prior to that date. So that's a key date for us. The public comment has been closed on the 17th. So the staff is working on a summary and analysis report, and that will be published in 1 May 2019. Now, mind you, that the staff who's working on that is not the implementation team, it's the policy support team. So the implementation team will focus on implementation, not doing what comments came in, and as a result, how the recommendations may or may not, recommendations do not change, and how the board resolution may be affected because of that. But as we said, our strategy here for the implementation team is that we assume that we are going, the final recommendations will be intact, and that's what we are implementing. Of course, we are mindful that things could change. So we're kind of carefully progressing to minimize any kind of wasted work. None of us can afford to waste time and our energy and our valuable resources here. Next slide. So the newcomers, let's see. I see the Owen. Okay, Owen is new and he's in the pre-IRT. Now Cyrus Namazi is, you know who Cyrus is. Cyrus has joined the email group, but he's really not qualified to be the pre-IRT because he's a staff. So let's make that correction, Andrea. So next time when you, we let's make the, not now, but later, we'll remove Cyrus from that list. And then on the staff side, Mauro has joined. And what I want to do is ask Owen, can I hear your voice? Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Can you introduce yourself to the team, your affiliation, and your background on this EPDP? That's what we did in our first kickoff meeting, if you listen to it. So it's important. It's a small intimate group, and we want to know who's all here. I noticed there is no affiliation with your name on it. So go ahead and introduce us.
Okay. My name is Owen Smigelski, and I am head of ICANN compliance and relations at Registrar and Namecheap. So you can add Registrar Stakeholder Group to my name there. I've been with Namecheap since December, and prior to that, I was with Registrar Compliance in ICANN since 2012. So I'm just familiar with ICANN just a little tiny bit, as well as the TempSpec and all the other stuff that's been going on lately.
Yeah, and what's more, Owen has been involved in policy implementation team as a part of the IPT before, so he knows, he's familiar with the process that we go through. So I'm sure he'll be a tremendous help for us. And Mauro Lozano, please help introduce yourself.
Yes. Hi, everybody. I'm Mauro Lozano. I'm from ICANN Technical Services team. I just started in the team and trying to focus on the more technical items on the tasks, but also on the overall tasks.
Yeah, and so for those of you who don't know Mauro, he comes from a registry operator before he joined us here. So he is intimately familiar of the technical implementation on the registry operator side. By that, of course, he needs to understand how the registry operator needs to interface with registrars also. So very capable and welcome a team member as we figure out how to implement this policy recommendations. Next slide, please. Okay, I see Alex Deacon has joined, Brian King, Stephen Filipovic. So we have 30 people on the observers list. And as I mentioned before, the observers do not participate in the meetings. They have read-only access to the emails that we are using to communicate on the pre-IRT. Next slide. Role of the pre-IRT. So pre-IRT is not the IRT, but it's like the IRT, but it's a little different. I guess that's probably the essence of what a pre-IRT is. So we invented the pre-IRT concept with this policy at the recommendation that the PDP work, the EPDP team has requested that we get an advanced start using a what do they call it, informal IRT group. So we took that to heart and we called for the pre-IRT, and that's why you're all here. On point number four there, pre-IRT does not require a GNS or council liaison. That's our rule. But at the last meeting, the pre-IRT members have suggested that we do go ahead and make an invitation to the GNS Council so that they have the option to assign someone now. And we thought that was a good idea. So I think you have all seen my email go out to the GNS Council, and you're all copied on it. And you do know that all our emails are archived, so you can go back and look at them. So we made the asked them if they would like to go ahead and assign someone. We would welcome someone. I have not heard back yet, and not sure exactly what they're thinking right now. There was no reaction to the briefing that Russ did last week, and I wrote you an email on that too, so that you're all aware. Russ did mention the council liaison item, but he did not get any reaction or comments to that. Have you guys heard anything? Let me ask, take a moment here to see if the pre-IRT members have heard anything or have had any discussions. Some of you are involved in that GNSO council, right? I would take that as a no, so everybody's being quiet, so let's move on. So,
Dennis,
go ahead.
I don't think that you can see it, but Amr has his hand raised.
Oh, yeah, I can't. Can you? Thanks for pointing it out. Amr, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Dennis. This is Amr. I think Rubens volunteered to serve as the council liaison to the pre-IRT and then the IRT once, which... during the council call last week, you probably would have to confirm with Russ, but I think I do recall him volunteering, and I think he said that he'd be happy to do this job if Rafiq didn't want to take it on himself, since he was also serving as the council liaison to the EPDP team. Thanks.
Yeah, that would be a lot for Rafiq. Rafiq is amazing. His productivity, the things that he can cover. Yeah, so we'll have to hear from him. Andrea, you haven't received any requests to join from anyone, have you?
I have not.
Okay, so that's the process. If he does want to join, he would be contacting Andrea. So maybe he'll join our next call. So we'll see. Next slide. The wiki page, you're aware that we have a wiki page, and I have showed this slide once before, but just slightly modified it to say that we intend to use this wiki as the home place for everything that you need. One of the things that we want to do is have a sort of a pre-IRT members only page also for things that are kept for the pre-IRT members. And then the other point number seven being important, now that new members are here, please go ahead and review all prior material before our next meeting so that you're all on the same page and we move together. Next page. So, this is what we call the stages of the Reg Data Policy. Reg Data Policy is our short name for Registration Data Policy, or GTLT Registration Data Policy. We intentionally are avoiding the acronyms, but I'm hearing it already. You know, somebody was calling it RDP or RDAP, and that got very confused immediately. So let's stay with Reg Data Policy for those of us who are involved in implementing this policy. So let's go coin that phrase and socialize that. So what do you see here? And you color coded dark blue, light blue, sort of a pink, and then I don't know what that color is, the last, I'm not sure what to call it. So we have stage 0, 1, 2, and 3. Stage 0 is now, right today. What are we doing right now? We are at what we call a prior to the board resolution phase, right? Board is considering this policy for adoption. So the board has the ball right now. Officially, that's who is the actor on this policy process. Now, the reason that we are here, as I said before, is because the EPDP working team has specifically requested, and Yuran had agreed that we are going to go ahead and cooperate as important as this policy is. And he authorized us to launch our IPT and the pre-IRT, and that's what we're doing. So three diamonds on top are board resolution. And after the board resolution, we are going to publish that policy. And I would call that, let's call that stage one policy, because that's what will be in effect. And then we issue a legal notice to all of you, the contracted party. Now, that all happens hopefully before 20 May of next month. And what that policy will say is, please keep doing what you have been doing. There's really no change from the 10 specs. So our intention is zero change. It's rather a sort of an administrative regular change that the 10 spec, the content of the 10 spec or technical specification of the 10 spec stays in fact intact using a consensus policy vehicle now rather than the board direction, if you will. So stage one is keep doing the same thing as whatever is in 10 spec, consistent with 10 spec. And then we have a TBD date. Whenever we are ready, and we meaning this team right here, whenever we are ready with figuring out how to implement this, that we have done all the analysis, we have done all the requirements, we know what the tasks are, we know what the dependents are, we all know what the schedules are, and then we go publish that for a public comment, and we get the feedback, and we finalize the policy language based on what we've learned. And when we publish it, that's what we call our stage two policy. Or you might refer to, we might refer to it as a final policy too, because that's the policy we intend to stick with. There's no more change to that policy. The time period between that publication and February 20th, the effective date, February 29th, right, is a interim period of what we would call a transition period, where the contracted parties have the choice of staying with the temp spec equivalent or move over to the policy, the new policy. So you have a choice. So whatever that time is, and we have not determined that time because we don't know how long it's going to take us to have that policy ready. But it's our goal to see if we can fit that in before we do 29. So that's why we have to work very closely together. It's not a lot of time. Typically, we have a lot longer for these times. But this is what was recommended, and we're trying to deliver to the recommendation. And after the February 29th of next year, it will be stage two, stage three, which means that only the policy is effective. Temp spec equivalent is not going to work anymore. So we are completely retiring that side of it. So now we have a clean document, clean policy, you know, and everybody implements it the same way, and it lives on. Now I'll pause here for 1 minute to see if you have any feedback on this slide, the concept of the stage of the policy. Go ahead.
Beth Bacon has her hand up.
Go ahead, Beth.
Oh, hi, everyone. So for this slide, I just have a question about the second diamond where you say policy published. Is that, that's just kind of the operationalized version of recommendation 28, what we've been kind of calling the Rainbow Bridge. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we're going to have a document, and the document is called the consensus policy. And that consensus policy document will say exactly what you expect it to say. Keep doing what's in the temp spec. But we need that document because we have to publish it in the consensus policy list, right? And people can look it up and click on it and see what it says. And it'll take us to temp spec or temp spec equivalent. So it's a vehicle to achieve what you are already expecting. So does that make sense?
So then, yes, it's basically the recommendation 28. What we're doing. Okay. And this is just a question. It's not necessarily a negative. It's just, is this normally what you do for an IRT? And please forgive my ignorance. I've kind of been on the edges of an IRT, but never involved in one. Usually the board resolution, and then is the policy published, or is it?
I think it's a really good question, and I'm glad you're asking this question, because there's lots of things that are unusual about this. Normally what happens is when the board takes a resolution, board will say, we hereby resolve that the recommendations to be implemented, and we direct the CEO and I can work to go ahead and do implement this recommendations as provided, right? That's what kicks off my work. That's what initiates my work in implementation. So nothing gets published when board takes a resolution other than the resolution. In this case, board will take a resolution, right, to say go ahead and implement it. And because the temp spec is expiring like right away, we have to act quickly to do something to cover the dates after the temp spec. Does that make sense? So come May 21st, if we don't have something like a consensus policy published, we don't have anything that is in effect. So this is not normally what happens in the IRT. Normal IRT process is that, when we receive the direction to go ahead and implement, then we go ahead and do all the IRT calls and planning and go through the whole publication. And the first thing that you will see is that pink triangle. That's when we would publish. That's the normal process.
Right. Okay. No, that makes sense. So my only other question is, and I'm sorry to,
Go ahead.
So when you do the that policy published after the board resolution, are you going to share that with with folks to review, or is that something that staff's going to draft and then just we'll see it when it comes out?
Not sure yet. Yeah, we are talking about that, what that should look like, and we'll have to think about that, how we are going to approach this, because we have never done this before either, right? So whatever it is the most expedient and efficient is what we will try to do.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I will just put in my two cents that because we've never done this before and because it's come out and look a lot like one of the recommendations, recommendation 28 of the final report, that is implementing a recommendation. And generally when an IRT is going through and moving the final report to an actual policy and implementing it, you know, those are the moments when they will seek input. So I think it would be good if we could at some point, you know, have some sort of input or see it or understand it, especially because we are going to have to communicate to our groups why it's okay that ICANN is publishing a consensus policy that, you know, that the PDT didn't really create. It's one recommendation and it's to bridge. So I think to have the input there, I think it would be better for everyone. It may be like the scotiest bit less expedient, but since we know it's coming, I don't think that we can, I mean, the pre-IRT is meant to, you know, kind of talk about these issues. So maybe that's what our pre-IRT task is to make sure that we have that ready to go and there's a comfort level. Because I will say, like, I have a discomfort level with the fact that we're like, oh, we're just going to put out a policy, it's a consensus policy, and then we're going to work on it. But I understand the needs behind it. So the better we understand it, the more input we have, the easier it will be for us to make that smooth. Thanks.
But yeah, very good point, Beth. And anybody else have an opinion or input on this?
Sarah Wild.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi, thank you. This is Sarah Wild. I just want to second what Beth is saying. I think it's very important that we do get to review the bridging policy as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Amar, you have a hand up. I see the hand now, the blue hand.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, my hand is blue. Thanks, Dennis. This is Amar. I also support what Beth and Sarah have said. And I just wanted to ask from a process perspective, normally before consensus policies are published, there's a public comment period. I realize we're a bit tight on time right now, but usually yeah. Those public comment periods are what allow contracted parties to respond to a draft consensus policy. I'm wondering, are we going to have a public comment period? Do we have time to hold one, even if it's shorter than it normally is? And if not, what would replace its function in terms of, you know, just nailing down recommendation 28 here? Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think that we are going to have a public comment in the normal sense of the public comment. As you know, that it's a 40-day process as a minimum. So we are all talking about discussing how we're going to handle that. Obviously, we have to have something, and we cannot afford to have a gap in our, if you will, the requirements that you have to live by. You deserve to have your requirements clearly specified, and we should not have any gaps where we are not doing anything. So no public comment in a traditional sense. Can we do something in between? I don't know. Time is so short. And it all depends, I guess, also on when the board resolution comes out. Number one, when it comes out and what the board resolution says. So let's think about that. Let's all think about that and see how we can be prepared for one scenario or another. And if you have suggestions on it, would love to hear it. Go ahead and send it to me. You know, tell me right now, or you can tell us later. Sarah, I think you have your hands up now.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, it sounded like you said that we need to wait for the board resolution before we can review or before you can publish the policy, which of course you do, but can we review a draft before then? Like, I know the timelines are very tight, but if, you know, if the board resolution is happening on May 15th or something, that it's only a 5-day period, but if you have a draft that we could look at now or next week, that does give us more time to give input. Thank you.
Yeah. It's a very good point. Yeah. We are going to have to draft it. So, in advance, I think, almost. So we will, let me get back to you on that. I'm not sure how far along we will be by the beginning of the month. But we certainly can't wait until the board resolution happens to draft that language. And I'm expecting it to be rather simple language anyway. But I take your point. So at least three of you have spoken up and asked to review the policy language that we will be publishing. So I take that as a strong input from your side. Any other comment on this? If not, let's move on to the next slide. Quick reminder of our process. I went over this in detail last time, so I won't do it again. Just to remind you, we're in the very beginning phase of the recommendation analysis. And then trying to stay in the 1 and 2 area until we form the IRT also. And I think from what I looked at, there's a lot to this recommendations. It's really a lot more complicated and complex and nuanced than how it seemed initially. So our team is delving into it right now. And we do intend to share all our analysis with the pre-IRT as we go. Next page. So recommendation analysis, let's get to it. So I told you that we're going to be looking at five of the 29 recommendation. Sounds like you all have it memorized so that you probably know what these are then. And then you can probably guess why I picked these five. And what we'll do is now switch over to our workbook. We created a pre-IRT workbook. And this pre-IRT workbook can be found on a team drive, pre-IRT team drive we have just set up. So Andrea, I know, was reaching out to you to make sure that you have access to it. And this is your workbook. As much as ours, we are working on it together. So please get familiar with this as soon as you can. But I'm on it right now, and I see several of you are also. And if you cannot get on the workbook, it's not a problem. Just follow along on the screen that Andrea is sharing. So that's all good. Yeah, Owen's there. Okay. I'm not seeing the Andrea. I don't think I'm seeing the spreadsheet on the screen anymore. I think you moved it away.
Is that okay? One moment.
Okay.
Yep, one moment.
Because I only see like a few people. Not everybody is on the workbook. Let's see. Can you guys see it? Those of you who are not on the workbook? Yeah, can you make it bigger? I can't see it, but it'll probably not, they probably won't be able to read it.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
Probably won't be too easy.
Okay. So while you work on that, let me go and get started. So this is what I call the requirements analysis workbook. And what I have done is track the recommendation numbers on the left side. So 2, 3, 21, 25, those are recommendation numbers. And recommendations language is basically copy and paste of the recommendation that you had in the final report. So you should probably be intimately familiar with every word here. And column C requirements is when we took that, as we're looking at the recommendation, we, meaning IPT, is thinking about what is the requirements in this recommendation, right? Ultimately, I mean, we have to take every recommendation and turn it into a requirement. Is it a requirement or not? And column D is when we try to judge, is there an action here? If it is a requirement, what is the IPT action? What does IPT have to do? And then we want to capture the pre-IRT comment here. And as you know, this is a Google Doc share workbook, and I believe all of you have edit capability. Let me make sure that...
I think I added everybody so far that I've been able to add. I did add them with edit.
Okay, excellent. So, and I'm going to ask pre-IRT members to fill this column E in as we go. So it doesn't matter, you know, whoever wants to volunteer. There are several of you on the workbook. That's a good thing. Okay, so let's see. So number two, what was the recommendation? It says that HPDP team commits to considering in phase two of its work whether additional purpose should be considered to facilitate ICANN's office of the CTO to carry out its mission and should be informed by legal guidance and the GDPR. It says a lot of things, but when I read the word EPDP team commits to do something, it immediately sounded like, well, this is a EPDP team, I think, committing to itself to do something. So why would it be in here? Because as soon as we saw this, we didn't see any recommendation for the IPT or implementation here. Can someone in the pre-IRT share what the thought was behind this to putting in a recommendation in the final report? Volunteers?
Dennis, this is Beth.
Go ahead.
I also see Mark's hand up, so I'm sure he'll add some as well. Basically, the final report ended up being a bit of an attempt to capture the discussions and some of the opinions as well, apart from the consensus, but, you know, explaining some of it. And then for those who are reading the EPDP final report, because it's super dense, and then also it was an effort to say, yes, we had, this is our consensus, we had these opinions apart from that in the discussion, and perhaps there's, you know, one or two items that the EPDP will need to work on, because there was an attempt to connect the work of phase one and phase two, because we broke it up, but they're still related. So that's why that is. So I would say it's easy for us to say, you know, add a column that says not a requirement or TBD phase two or something, if that makes it easier with regards to the analysis. Thanks.
Oh, thank you for that. That's what we thought. So this is where.
Also up, so.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Mark. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with Beth. I'll just expand a little bit. You know, I think in the working group, we realized not all the recommendations in the final report are intended to end up in a consensus policy itself. Some of the items in there, as Beth enumerated, are really agreements are intended to bridge the gap from phase one to phase two. Some of the items in there are really recommendations to the GNSO Council, in fact. If you read the language, I think as we do that, we'll find some of them are recommendations for the GNSO Council to take action, not necessarily recommendations that are intended to go into a consensus policy. So I think, I think that's a good first step. And it's something we talked about when we met in Kobe, is how not all the recommendations in the final report are really intended to land in a consensus policy.
Thank you. Next, who's next? Let's see.
Hi,
Diane, go ahead, Diane.
Hi, how are you, Dennis?
I'm fine, Diane.
I wanted to add to Mark's comments, which were well taken, that it's also not only not all recommendations should not necessarily end up in consensus policy, but much to what the board just recently announced, the fact is that there will be perhaps along the course of the legal evaluation and into phase two, the determination that from a legal standpoint, there are other additional purposes that weren't articulated that should be to support the ability of consensus policy to be implemented and even going forward for there to be the necessary access to data. So really it's twofold: to recommend additional, to have that legal leeway to be able to provide supplemental purposes as needed.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anyone else want to comment? So I see that I think it's Beth who put in column D, right? TBD phase two. So if you want to write something in there, because this is the time when we are validating the IPT assessment that we got this correctly. So what IPT had determined is that there is no requirement for IPT. So if you look at column E, we said none, meaning that there's nothing that IPT will do. And as I mentioned in the implementation project, it's critical that we keep our scope focused. That is a key factor in delivering a successful project. Both projects fail because they do not control the scope and they don't manage the scope. So here we together have to be very vigilant in protecting our scope. So this one, while it is recommendation number two in our final recommendation, we are saying that there's no action for IPT here. And in the pre-IRT comment, if someone could write in, a pre-IRT member can write in that we agree or we support the IPT, we agree with the IPT, that would really appreciate it. And then we are going to put this one to bed. Okay, excellent, thank you. Okay, at this time is bothering me. Does that mean later on we could have an action, the IPT? What I'm focusing on is, does the IPT have an action here?
Dennis, I think that Sarah's notes are appropriate, because if in fact additional purposes are formulated and solidified in phase two, maybe that's not going to, I guess at the pre-IRT, it's not at this time, but if they do come to bear, there could be implementation action that's needed to adapt them to be appropriate implementing census policy.
I see your point. So, I see the way you look. Go ahead. Somebody talk.
Diane, that's a good point. I just want to say, if work is done in phase two, then I would think that is phase two implementation, and it may impact what we've done in phase one. Like maybe it would be an edit or an update. But I would imagine that would be dealt with much in the way these recommendations are as phase two. So maybe it would be kind of a retroactive fix. Does that make sense to folks, or am I just losing my mind more?
You're deadly accurate in terms of project management. Yeah, that's great. What I meant by, are we implementing an approved? So here, you know, in theory, we are implementing and chartered and only authorized to implement what was resolved by the board. If we go outside of that, right, then we have just changed our scope on our own and we have gone beyond our remit, and that is a no-no. And if I do that, you should caution me. So that's what I'm saying. I think Beth, you have it right. You have it right. We pointed that out as one of the risks. It's a very unusual that we have a PDP working group running in parallel of the implementation team. Very unusual. So there is a risk, okay? There will be temptation where we might say, well, that's just a little change, it's easy to do, so let's just go ahead and make that change. Can we do that? No, we cannot. We're not authorized to take any other input the only input that we have, only thing that we are obligated to implement is what's in the final report, period. So this is a very important point, and I'm glad that we're addressing it together right up front right now, because if we're not together on this concept, then we're gonna be struggling later. And what happens is then it becomes an opportunity to renegotiate the scope and then effectively doing another policy development recommendation, development discussion. So we are not able, we cannot do that. Does that make sense? Comments? Clear? Confusing? Anybody there?
We're still here, Dennis.
Okay.
You said yes in the chat.
Okay. So I would like someone to, whoever, is this Sarah, to take out the word at this time, because my intention here is once we talked about this and we conclude that there's no action with IPT and pre-IRT, we're never gonna talk about this recommendation again. Not in this team. The only thing that we will do, and I will just say this one more time, only thing we will do is when a formal IRT convenes, at that time, it's all of you plus whole new members, and they're all gonna come together. We're gonna present what we have done in advance and make sure that they're all in line too, all agreement with us. Okay? So number two is done, and hereby we have completed requirements analysis and recommendation analysis on one recommendation. So that's our first one. Congratulations, everybody. So let's do our second one. I'm checking the time. We have maybe 10 more minutes. Now you have the concept, right? We needed to take the time to go through the process. So we are all in together on the concept and the way we're thinking about this. So number three, recommendation number three, let's look at this one. This one says in the EPDP recommendation recommends that in accordance with the EPDP team charter and in line with the purpose number two, EPDP team undertakes to make recommendation. So it says a lot of things, but right or from, it says the EPDP team will do this. EPDP team will consider. There's a need to confirm things. So this is all about sort of a note to yourself is what how I read it and how the IPT analysis has concluded. There's no requirement for the IPT here either. Do you agree? If you do agree, speak up or write something on the F3, column cell F3, inviting you to make your comment, please. Copy and paste works really well too.
Hey, Dennis.
Go ahead.
Hey, this is Theo for the record or non-record. So while I appreciate it, while we are going through this with lightning speed at the moment, I think it is a little bit more sensible, but the people on the IRT can correct me, but I think it would be a little bit more sensible if you put a little bit more time into this and read this document a little bit better, or maybe I'm just very unprepared, but I have a feeling that we just overseeing this document here. So and there's 10 minutes left on the call, but I think we're going a little bit too fast. I'm comfortable with the first one we did, but I'm reading a massive amount of text, and I'm going like, okay, what was the idea behind this?
Okay. Okay, good, Theo. I'm never quite sure if I'm going too fast or too slow. You know what I mean? I kind of get feedback on both sides so many times, but I would rather go slow then go fast and lose any. We cannot lose any member of the pre-IRT here, right? The whole point of us doing this is advanced work. So let's take a little more time then. Go ahead. So can you read what's on the screen, or you can also pull up your report and read it there? It is literally copy and paste. The only thing I try to do was, since the PDP recommends that, dot, 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 is repeated, I just kind of save some room on the cell. But it says, Thea, why don't you read it for us as you're reading, instead of me reading? You want to do that?
Yeah, I think I can manage.
Yeah, please read.
We're still on recommendation number 3, right?
Yes.
So, okay, here we go. In accordance with the PDP team charter and in line with purpose 2, the PDP undertakes to make a recommendation pertaining to a standardized model for a lawful disclosure of non-public registration data, referred to in the charter as standardized access. Now that the gating questions in the charter have been answered, this will include addressing questions such as whether such a system should be adopted, what are the legitimate purposes for third parties to access registration data, what are eligibility criteria for access to non-public registration data, do those parties, groups, consists of different types of third-party requesters, what data elements should each party slash user have access to. In this context, the EPDP team will consider, amongst the other issues, disclosure in the course of intellectual property infringement and DNS abuse, of course. And number 5, there is a need to confirm that disclosure for legitimate purposes is not incompatible with the purposes for which such data has been collected. It seems that it is not such work for the IRT and is left for phase 2. Thank you.
Thank you, Theo. So IPT's assessment is that there is no implementation work here, no requirements for the IPT. So it's in the same category as recommendation number 2, meaning none, nothing here for us to do. And if you do agree, please make a comment. Okay. Now, I just want to make sure that I know that we're saying we're capturing the agree, but is there anyone who disagree? Maybe I should be asking that too. And maybe I am going too fast. Please speak up, right? If there's any question in your mind that there's task for the implementation to do something here, that you, that's what you were thinking of when you were writing this recommendation, this is a time for you to reveal that to us, because the IPT could not see anything here. A lot, this is very complicated work that you're committing to do, but this is it's not for the implementation team to do. It's for you, your phase 2 work. No objection, right? Okay, 5 minutes left. Let's see if we can do one more.
Question then. Go ahead, Theo. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
What does the column in D mean, to be determined phase 2? So you get your IPT action, which
let's see. Beth, put that in. Beth, what did you have in mind there? You're not using the cells, but you have you created it. So let's do something.
Oh, okay, sorry. The TBD phase 2, I think, is what your question was, why are certain things in here when it was really... for phase 2 to work on. So I think it's just, that was just to list those things where we say, you know, pre-IRT comment is, you know, agree, no action. But if then there's something that we've just said, a couple of these are, you know, oh, they're working on that in phase 2. I would think that you just put that in TBD phase 2, but maybe that's not the right spot for it. Maybe it's after the pre-IRT comment. I don't know. But that was just in response to the previous question.
I see.
Why are there certain things in here? Clearly not a recommendation.
Yeah. So if you're thinking about this is the kind of things that, like a list of tasks that belongs in phase 2, I would rather not even write that down. It's not for us, the implementation team, to discern the task per the recommendation and write those down for the phase two. I would rather not do that unless you believe it's our duty to do so.
Yeah, no, that's fine with me. I think I think someone just helpfully put it in there because we were discussing it and then it just started. So I think we take it out, fine.
Yeah, okay, let's take it off. Can you take it off? Thank you. Theo, does that make it more clear?
Yes, perfect, thanks.
Okay, good. Yeah, as much as we want to make this comprehensive and complete, we do want to try to keep it as simple as possible, because it is our tool to bring clarity for us. It's our tool. Let's see, 4 minutes left. You feel like one more? Go for it. Theo, what do you say?
I'm good with everybody here.
You know what, let's not do that. I do have to talk about the next steps, and we'll try to tackle 21, 25, and 17 as we go, either our next meeting or maybe even online. But this is your workbook, is available to you, so go ahead and look at it, right? And next time we get together, you've already looked at it, maybe you already filled it in even. So that would be even more helpful, right? Now that you have a workbook, you didn't have it before, now you do. So here's a homework for you. Before our meeting, on column E, 21, 25, 20, and 17, fill out your assessment, whether you agree with the IPT or not. You already see the IPT assessment here on column C and D. So Andrea, if you can take us back to the next step slide, let's just look at that before we conclude. I have one more slide that says next steps, basically.
Yep, 1 second, Dennis.
Okay. Just to get everybody aligned on what to expect, next thing to happen, as I said, IPT is going to continue with the analysis, as you have seen us do here. And then we are going to track progress on the World Conflict Comment, and I'll go ahead and announce to you if I see anything developing, so you are in tune with, of course, you're all probably tracking it even closer than I am. And I'm going to prepare the call for IRT, and maybe I'll share that with you, and you can help me with that to see if I get the right wording and the team member of the IRT that I'm calling for is appropriate. It's going to be a little different than the call for the pre-IRT. For the IRT, we are going to open it up to non-EPDP team members without any prior EPDP experience. We are specifically soliciting participation of more people who are in the back-end implementation side. So we have a good feel for what it is that we are agreeing to do when we say we're going to do something. You know, is it a two-month task or two-year task? Yes, that's kind of important, right? We are going to have a couple of sessions where I think this topic will come up in GDD Industry Summit. Show of hands, or I can't see the hands anymore, but how many people are going to be in the GDD Industry Summit from this group? Mark's going to be there. Of course, Mark, we're going to have to talk about RDEV too, right? No, Sarah not. Okay, just Mark. Okay. Not a big attendance, but that's okay.
Come on, Dennis.
Beth. Oh, yeah. I see you. Sarah,
okay. Dennis, I'm totally gonna be. You're on my panel, for heaven's sake.
Sorry. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Somehow I don't know how it happened, but that's sort of maneuvered me on a panel. I don't even know. Well, you're gonna tell me what to do, right? When I get there.
Just Dennis, wishful thinking. Beth won't be there. I hope.
Oh, but you know, I got my unconference mode I can go into, right? Okay, let's see. And then the next pre-IRT or IRT meeting, and there's a reason that I said or, because I don't know when the IRT will actually convene. Probably not by the 15th of May. That'll probably be a pre-IRT still. One question that I had received was when we have a call, when we have the board resolution and call for the IRT, will the pre-IRT then stop and wait for the IRT? No, we're not going to stop. We're going to keep going until the IRT is formed. And the way the IRT will form this time is it's going to build from the pre-IRT group anyway. So this meeting and the way the pace that we are building here will continue as we have been. And we may even need to accelerate based on how much progress that we make. So look for a meeting 15th of May, then after that, another meeting a couple of weeks later and another couple of weeks later. And then we are going to have a session and I can 65. And I don't know what the schedule is, but I'll let you know as soon as I find out too. Anybody Dennis, else?
Yeah, go ahead. Mark, actually we have Amr and Beth who have hands up. So Amr.
Go ahead.
Oh, thanks, this is Amr. I have a question on the order in which we're dealing with the recommendations and requirements analysis. It seemed to me that the reason why we were forming this pre-IRT was to get a head start on dealing with recommendation 28. And I figured that should be a priority at this point, you know, because we want to have that nailed down, you know, by the time the board votes.
Good point. Yeah, good point.
So I was wondering why we were starting with that first that we have there.
I see.
And good I'm also point, wondering yeah. if we should wait until May 15th to hold our next call and maybe have an IRT call sooner than May 15th to deal with recommendation 28. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for that input. Good point. Yeah, there is a reason why we did not take on 28. But we'll talk about that maybe later. Go ahead, Beth. Go ahead. You have one more comment?
So I was actually just going to, it's a little bit related to Amr's comment. In the beginning, we talked about the call it the consensus policy part one. I don't know. the item that's going to operationalize 28, the Rainbow Bridge. It'll get us through to the actual implementation of the actual policy, but through from the end of the temp spec. So I know that a couple of us mentioned that we would like to work on the draft language of that. So as Amr said, that we could, if you have draft language, we could start thinking about that. Mm-hmm. So it'd be really smooth and easy.
I see.
You ready for it? So that's what Amr's talking about with recommendations.
I see. Okay. I thank you for letting me know. Good to know what your expectation was. I was trying to use you in a different way, but I see why what you were expecting. Okay.
Yeah. And then so also it would be nice if, and you know, we can talk offline if that's helpful, you know, just because we're going over time, but that would be good to see. And I think it would be helpful and quite as Amr says, the point of priority. And then if you could let us know the next batch of recommendations, which order you want to do that in, then we can start tackling those in the doc.
Right.
March through them. So if you just want to add those, then I think we're.
I will. Yeah, that's exactly the plan. Okay, gotcha. Any other comment? Thank you. Sorry for going over a couple of minutes, 4 minutes here. So let's conclude and we'll talk online, okay? Bye, everyone.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. Please remember to disconnect all lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.